Broadcasting, its staff, or advertisers. It's time for Israel is Real. Two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. Rahel and Sonia focus on life in modern 21st century Israel, telling the stories of ordinary people living in, loving, and in support of an extraordinary land. Israel is Real is a community-supported program featuring interviews with local, national, and international celebrities, personal life stories, and call-ins. Learn a new Hebrew word every week. Israel is Real. Every Friday on 1590 WSMN. Nashua's News and Talk. And now, your hosts, Rahel and Sonia.
Hi, we're Rachel
and Sonia,
and this is Israel, Israel, the free voice for Israel. Boker tov lekol ha'mazinim.
Tzohoraim tovim b'Yisrael.
From WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. And I want to say happy birthday to us.
Yeah.
We are 1 year on the air.
And we are thinking that maybe we'll take George for a salad outside.
Yes.
A Greek salad.
Yeah, sure.
Greek hope. Salad, yeah. Most yeah. Definitely. I want to say that as Jews, we are not always comfortable asking for donations, but we are learning from our Christian friends who support the Jewish people and the Jewish state of Israel. We do need money to stay on the air, and we thank you, all of those who have supported us, to get us to this first year birthday. We have a goal this year of $5,400, so we would appreciate it if you would take the time to visit our website and find out how to put a donation in our basket this week and for the coming weeks. You can visit www.israelisrael.weebly.com. That's israelisrael.weebly.com. You can also email us at israelisrael1590@gmail.com. That's israelisrael1590@gmail.com. And we want to thank with all of our hearts Mr. Vern Main, the patent and trademark law firm of Vern Main & Associates, a local firm with a global practice, is pleased to announce its new office location at 547 Amherst Street in Nashua and on the web at vernmain.com. For professional legal counseling on all intellectual property matters, contact the legal specialist at Vern Main & Associates at their offices on 547 Amherst Street in Nashua. That's 547 Amherst Street in Nashua, New Hampshire, or on the web at vernmain.com. That's www.vernmaine.com, vernmain.com.
And another organization that is supporting us a lot is Vision. Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel? Did you know that the religious majorities in countries around the world are like this?
Mm-hmm.
56 countries are Islamic.
Mm-hmm.
49.
You mean where the majority
yes.
is Islamic?
49 mm-hmm. countries have the majority of the Roman Catholic. 20 countries, the majority it's Protestant. 12 are Eastern Orthodox. 4 countries have the majority of Hindu. Mm-hmm. And guess, only one country have a majority of Jewish people.
Thank you. I didn't know that actually, and I find that very interesting. I mean, I did know that there was only one Jewish homeland, one Jewish state. That I knew,
yeah.
But I didn't know about the others. Thank you. And thank you, Vision.
Thank you.
And thank you, Vern Main.
Thank you very much.
And also, I do want to thank, by the way, all of the other people, and we have had a number of people who have helped us stay on the air. And I won't name them all by name, but they are wonderful, and they keep supporting us. And I will remind you again that we are fundraising. We are good until the end of December. And if you like what you're hearing and we are bringing you quality programming, please do visit our website. Again, I'll tell it to you. I know you don't like to hear it, but we will tell you again. It's israelisrael.weebly.com. Israel israel.weebly.com. And today...
Our Hebrew word.
Our Hebrew word is...
Tzionut.
Tzionut in English.
Zionism.
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 Tell me a little bit about Tzionut.
Well, Zionism, actually, to speak about Zionism, you are like asking from me to cite authors that wrote books, volumes of what's the meaning of Zionism.
And you have a problem with that?
To start speaking about this? No, we do have only 1 hour, so this is the problem.
Okay, I think we can start quoting some.
But we can put something very, you know, very, a little bit about what's the meaning of Zionism.
Please.
So the first thing is what Zionism means and from where it's coming. And I will say that Zionism, it's coming from Zion. Zion means... it's a mount in Jerusalem. It says it's the other meaning is actually to have a commemorative place, excuse me. But it's also Zion, it's another name for Jerusalem. And Jerusalem have plenty of names, around 70 names. Different names. Mm-hmm. One of this is Jerusalem, another is Zion, and another is Ariel, and so on and so on.
Now, I hear in many songs, for example, and many prayers, I hear the name Zion used a lot. And so it's. I think it's a popular word that's been used by not just in Jews, with Jews, but with people all over
absolutely.
The world.
Absolutely.
Bob Marley, for example, sings about Zion.
And therefore... I would say that we have three different paths to go. One is the ideology. It's Zionist ideology states that the Jewish people, they are like another nation, only every other nation. So therefore, they should go together in a single homeland, which we did.
You mean, is it? Are you referring to sort of like the French have
exactly,
France,
exactly.
Americans
exactly,
have America?
Exactly, exactly.
Okay.
So the meaning is that it's a movement of understanding that after more than 2,000 years on diaspora, the Jewish people will go back to their own place from where they get out because the Roman Adrianus Caesar that took them out. Another, it's a like I say, a descriptive term, which probably appears somewhere in 1891 by an Austrian publicist named Nathan Birnbaum, and he describes the new ideology, and it was in from this time on we are using this retroactively. When we are trying to describe efforts and ideas of Jewish people which wants to go back to their own homeland. And beside, I like in parentheses, I would say every year, every Jew is saying Beshana haba'a b'Yerushalayim habnuya, the next year in Jerusalem, the rebuild Jerusalem. And this is for more than 2,000 years, so not a question that every Jewish people understood exactly where is Jerusalem and from where they came. The third path is the political movement. The Zionist movement was actually, the foundation was put together by Theodor Herzl in 1897.
And this was, was a result of an incident...
Yes, it was the result of Dreyfus.
Which we can talk trial. About at
yes,
some point. Can, but
yes,
it was
Dreyfus.
Essentially
Dreyfus put Herzl in the place that he suddenly understood that the Jewish people must go back to their own homeland. He took certain stages, but the last stage and those which define our country is actually that the Jewish people are going back to their own, because other place, it's not the place that the people will go.
They're not that friendly.
No, it's clearly that if you are going back to some place, you are going back to your own place, mm-hmm. not another something that. So also in the political movement, we can have different paths, the Jabotinsky path,
the religious
path by Rabbi mm-hmm. Cook, the socialist Zionist as Borokhov,
mm-hmm. the cultural path,
yes, and also well. Echad HaAm, mm-hmm. which is Asher Ginsburg, which also he have spiritual Zionism, which is nothing to do with what's happened today, and this is maybe for another discussion between us.
Right. It's important that we speak about Tzionut, about Zionism, because I believe today it is the understanding has been lost.
And the understanding has been lost, and beside, people are really confused what's the meaning of this Zionism. It's happened more or less in the same time that in Europe people get aware of
Right.
their own nationalities.
Now, we're speaking about Tzionut today, and we will speak about it again in a couple of weeks with another woman. But today we are having a pre-recorded interview that we recorded with Mr. Nathan Zeller. And he is also known as Uncle Nathan. He's a sprite 84-year-old living in a senior home, very nice place. He married into a Zionist family. His mother-in-law, Ida Becker, was born in 1895 in what was then called Palestine, and today we know as the Jewish State of Israel. He's a retired filmmaker and former Army major who now devotes most of his energy and time to supporting activities that provide a vehicle for educators to strengthen their sense of pride in Israel and to become conversant with concrete knowledge to contest anti-Israel prejudice. We are also going to honor Mr. Zeller's mother-in-law, Mrs. Ida Becker, who was a good friend of the former Prime Minister of Israel, Golda Meir, who worked with her on many fundraising efforts on behalf of Israel. We also honor some of the people who were influential in founding the State of Israel at that time, including Baron de Rothschild, Theodor Herzl, Chaim Weizmann, David Ben-Gurion, General Moshe Dayan, and so many others. And we are going to bring that interview to you right after this next break. We are Israel is Real on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk.
WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
The Telegraph, keeping you connected to your community for pennies a day.
When news breaks,
The Telegraph is there. When the community needs a watchdog, The Telegraph is there. When it's time to celebrate the accomplishments of our young athletes and scholars,
The Telegraph is there.
All for pennies a day. The Telegraph has been recognized for 7 years in a row as the best small daily newspaper in New England by the New England Press Association. Find out why one of New England's best daily newspapers is your daily newspaper for only pennies a day.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans, that means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
That was a joke.
Oh.
Get your smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
September is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. Ovarian cancer has the highest mortality rate of all gynecological cancers because early symptoms often go undetected. Symptoms can mimic digestive ailments and may include vague abdominal pain, bloating, indigestion, and gas. Screening for ovarian cancer is difficult, but pelvic imaging and blood tests are the best current methods. Early diagnosis is key to successful treatment. For information on ovarian cancer, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. Again, radiologyinfo.org.
We're locally owned, and that means we're here to serve you. Nashua's News and Talk, 1590 WSMN.
Alibi means how I wish, I hope, I pray. Alibi means how I wish, I hope, I pray. And when you really wish and hope and pray, luck is bound to come around your way. Alibi, alibi, alibi.
We are speaking today with Mr. Nathan Zeller. Shalom.
Shalom.
Why don't you tell us about your Jewish roots and your connection to Israel? What motivates you to want to devote yourself to educating young Jewish children?
Well, that's interesting. My wife's mother, my mother-in-law, was born in the region of Palestine in 1895, and I knew her very well. And naturally, she was a Sabra, and she was devoted to Israel and raised money with Israel for Israel. And she was also an intimate friend of Goldie Meir's. So I would have to take my mother-in-law many times to different organizations. And I became, I identified much more with Israel and learned more about Israel.
Can you just back up a little bit and just tell us about your mother-in-law? Her story is a little bit interesting.
My mother-in-law's parents, which would be my wife's grandparents, they were born in Russia. And at that time, the Rothschilds were buying land in Israel. This goes back to about the 1890s. So that's how my mother-in-law was born in Israel in 1895.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to school there. She spoke five languages, Hebrew. And, oh, by the way, she could read and write in Hebrew. She could read and write in Arabic. Her husband used to call her a little Arab. And she could read and write in French and read and write in English and read and write in Russian.
So your interest comes from having the connection, the family connection.
Right, right.
And so what is the interest in the founding of the State of Israel?
Well, first of all, I spent a couple of months there because my mother-in-law had an apartment, and when we got married, we went to Israel, and it was wonderful. And I was so impressed by seeing various types of people. Matter of fact, we went to a kibbutz. So when I was there, I was very much impressed that here were a capitalist and a person who lived on a kibbutz,
mm-hmm.
and in a socialistic type of it, and another cousin who was from a moshev farm, a moshev, which is a cooperative farm.
Moshev.
He owned the land, but they had a cooperative thing. And all of them were talking and arguing with each other, but it was all in good spirit. But anyway, since I retired, I was a former professional filmmaker with CBS,
mm-hmm.
and I taught filmmaking at City College. Yeah, at City College one time, they asked me to go to a conference to teach Hispanic kids filmmaking. And I thought, why am I not teaching Israeli kids and Jewish kids? And the same way now, I feel that whatever ability I have, I am underwriting and helping causes, not only causes, but information about Israel.
I'm curious, would you call yourself a philanthropist at this time? or you're just a person who loves Israel?
First of all,
because you have very many projects that you're supporting.
Right. Well, and so, fortunately, I have some resources, but I'm certainly not in the philanthropy, you know, with Rockefeller or Lappin or some of the big people, but I do have a little trust fund. I have set up something called the ZUN, Z-U-N, Zella Family Charitable Trust. Now, it does philanthropy, and what I'm interested in, I'm dedicated to developing and sponsoring Judaica, Israeli, and interfaith cultural, educational, social, and sports activities and events to enhance our Jewish heritage. Mm-hmm. That's the purpose of my little trust. So when you ask me about how I'm connected with Israel, I'm explaining to you that I believe in helping to spread positive information about the founding of modern Israel, which I think is very lacking among American students. Usually students who have gone to grammar school and high school in Israel know who Theodor Herzl and Chaim Weizmann and Ben-Gurion, who these people, you know, are, just as we know who Abraham Lincoln and George Washington are. And this is what I'm trying to build as far as students here in the States.
You feel there's a gap, and you're filling a gap in this way. And by the way, it's very commendable. You don't have to be a Rockefeller or a Rothschild to support these kinds of, if you're putting 18 high, you know, or any kind of action you're doing in support of something, a good cause, I think is honorable. Let's talk about the current project that you have in trying to fill in the gap about the history of Israel. Why did you find the particular era of the founding of Israel so exciting?
Because it, when you know your history, you can be proud of it. You can find a sense of purpose. And many of the young people in America who don't have a grounding in this, I would like to see them become conversant with concrete knowledge about how Israel became a legal state. In this way, they can contest anti-Israel prejudice and spread the positive facts about the history of the founding, building, and defense of the modern state of Israel. If they just knew that that Israel has become a legal state by, number one, the land was purchased, and number two, Lord Balfour, Lord Balfour issued the Balfour Declaration, which was the first time in 1917. World War One was from 1914 to 1918.
Right.
And Balfour got the British government to issue the Balfour Declaration, which said that Great Britain would support and affirm a country for the Jewish people in the future. And it took them a good 30 years later, but that was the beginning of a twinkle in the eye of modern Israel. That was 1919. But 1947 came the United Nations partition, which approved of a Jewish state and a Palestinian state in the Mideast, but the Arabs have not recognized this, except for Jordan and Egypt.
Now, if you don't mind me just clarifying that, it's come to our attention that people today believe that the Jewish state of Israel was formed as a result of the Holocaust. And now we see, as you know, this was not a true statement.
Of course.
And you've already seen the formations and the makes, and way back before even World War II, even before World War I.
It had nothing to do with the Holocaust. Right. I mean, a lot of people came from the Holocaust, I mean, who immigrated. But then, and point number four is, when the British left on May 14th, 1948, and many of the Jewish students should know that day because it's like July 4th. it's a July 4th of Israel. May 14th, 1948 is when Israel, the British left. On the same day, Ben-Gurion declared Israel as a sovereign state. And President Truman, the United States, recognized Israel 7 minutes later. Mm-hmm. And then 3 hours later, unfortunately, the Arabs attacked. And that was the War of Independence.
Which hasn't stopped.
Which hasn't stopped. I mean,
the attacking hasn't stopped even today. So if you want to look historically and bring it today, we're still under siege.
In many ways we are, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wish to further projects dealing with the building pride in American Jewish youth.
Good.
About Israel and how it was founded.
I just want to mention that Egypt and Jordan recognize Israel, but not in 1948.
Not in 1948.
Exactly.
Oh, they recognize Israel much later.
Exactly.
Much later.
1981.
That's correct, Sonia. Yes.
The peace agreement with Egypt took place, and then in 1994 it was the peace agreement between Jordan and Israel.
Yes.
So it's a little bit late, but better late than never.
Right,
better late than never is right.
You've cited a lot of wonderful personalities from the era of the founding of the State of Israel, and all of these people have played very important roles, each one individually, and as well as your mother-in-law, by the way, Ida Becker. As you mentioned, I want to honor her in her fundraising efforts. She was a friend of Golda Meir and helped raise funds for the State of Israel at that time. You mentioned important people such as the Baron de Rothschild, Theodore Herzl, Chaim Weizmann, David Ben-Gurion, Golda Meir, General Moshe Dayan. So many very wonderful early Israeli pioneers and founders of the State of Israel, and each one a colorful personality of their own. We won't have time to talk about each and every one, which I would love to do because each one is so important. But which one is your favorite? Which one could you tell us something about?
I could tell you two of my favorite. One is Chaim Weizmann, who was a young chemist in World War I, 1914 to 1918.
Right,
and he was the one who influenced Lord Balfour, who was the foreign secretary, to issue the Balfour Declaration, which was the first, as I mentioned before, twinkle in the eye of that there could be a homeland for the Jewish people.
And what excites you about him is what?
What excites me about him is that if not for Lord Balfour, if not for Chaim Weizmann, Lord Balfour would never have known about Israel and the pioneers and the people who were going there to try and make a homeland where they cleared the swamps and they they went there because of an earlier person who was called Theodore Herzl, and Theodore Herzl was like the Thomas Paine here in the United States, who wrote about freedom and democracy, and Theodore Herzl wrote the book called The Judenstaat, which in German means the Jewish state, that because of the anti-Semitism and pogroms in Europe during the late 1800s, mm-hmm, and the early 1900s, he said that the anti-Semitism is both social and economic. We can't fight it. so we have to leave. We have to have a homeland for the Jewish people. And this was the first beginning of political Zionism and the idea of a homeland for the Jewish people. I would also like to add, as I have in many articles, that the term Zionism, unfortunately, has turned around in the past 50 years. Mm-hmm. And we're now in another century. That was 1900s. In the past 100 years, 50, 60 years, the term Zionism by many people is understood to be a not favorable term.
It was interesting that you noted that it's been 50 or 60 years since the word Zionism became looked upon negatively. And we might note that it's the same amount of time that the State of Israel has been in existence.
Yes.
So we could note also perhaps or maybe surmise from that that there's been a very active campaign to negate the State of Israel and therefore also turn the word Zionism into what you would say a dirty word.
A bad word.
And I think that it's important to make people realize that there's an active campaign out there that is trying to delegitimize and the State of Israel and negate its existence and our existence as Jews.
Obviously, because they haven't recognized the Arab states besides Jordan and Egypt have not recognized the borders. If they would in some way cooperate with Israel, there could be many benefits to the Palestinians, both medically, agriculturally, and with high tech. They have many benefits to grasp by recognizing Israel.
Well, Mr. Zeller, we're running out of time, and we want to thank you for inviting us and having spent the afternoon with you and getting to know you. And now our listeners will have the chance. Thank you, Mr. Zeller.
Thank you.
And Shabbat Shalom.
במישור אשר אספת הים כאן החברים איתם גדלתי ואין לי שום מקום אחר בעולם אין לי שום מקום אחר בעולם כאן ביתי פה אני שיחקתי בשפלה אשר על גב ההר כאן מן הבל שתיתי מים ושתלתי שבמדבר ושתלתי דשא במדבר כאן נולדתי כאן נולדו לי ילדיי כאן בניתי את ביתי בשתי ידיי כאן גם אתה איתי וכך כל אלף ידידיי ואחרי שנים אלפיים סופים דודיי
1590 WSMN
and WSMNradio.com
WSMN is proud of our local programming, and you may have noticed the lineup of shows is growing, so we're looking for even more hosts in the Nashua area who want to own their own show. Please contact Mike Wynn at 880-9001. Hear the success stories. Learn how you can grow your business using our radio broadcasting and new media resources. Call Mike Wynn today, 603-880-9001. WSMN and WSMNradio.com.
Mom, Dad, I'm in eighth grade now. That means those years of peer pressure are way behind me. From here on out, it's all about good grades and living up to your totally realistic expectations. Alcohol is probably the last thing on my mind. Like you said, I'm too young to drink. When I'm with my friends, all we talk about are current events and boy bands. We're definitely not curious about what alcohol tastes like or why the older kids drink. And do I notice when you have a drink at dinner? Of course not. Just like I haven't noticed where you keep the alcohol. Oh, and if the opportunity arises to talk to me about drinking, you should definitely continue to avoid it. And if you do bring it up, just remind me that I'm too young. That'll probably do the trick.
Real kids are curious about alcohol. 40% try it by the eighth grade. Start a real conversation at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. Talk early. Talk often. Get others involved. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
For nearly every woman, there's a moment when she realizes barriers still exist.
I'm Maria Elena.
Maria Elena had such a moment.
As a young student, although I excelled in math, I was advised to take secretarial classes.
Through AAUW, Maria Elena received a grant for a program that encourages girls to participate in science.
We must support women and girls in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Join AAUW in breaking through barriers. Visit AAUW.org.
Nashua was chosen the best place to live twice. If you're planning on living twice, do it with us. 1590 WSMN.
Zeyom nichsafnu lo od ya'al ve'yavo. ומצעדנו עוד ירעים אנחנו פה. זה יום נחשפנו לו עוד יעל ויבוא. ומצעדנו עוד ירעים אנחנו פה. עמוד השחר על יומנו אור יהל. אם הצורר יחלוף תמולנו כמוצל.
And we're back on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. We are Israel, Israel, the free voice for Israel. And I'm Rachel and
Sonia.
And we are bringing you today wonderful programming. Just to remind you that we are fundraising, and our goal, $5,400, to keep on bringing you these wonderful programs. Seriously, wonderful programs, actually, if I do say so myself. And
no, we are saying this because people are telling us.
Yes.
It's not because you are saying this. True. People are actually telling us.
But I'm saying it too.
You can say.
Anyway, did you want to bring us an ad?
Rachel Music. Rachel is spreading beautiful music across the globe. To hear Rachel's unique sound and to book Rachel to perform for you live, go to www.rachelmusic.com, which is www.rahelmusic.com, rachelmusic.com.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next time that I will have a party, you'll start singing. Suddenly, yes. I got the idea.
I wanted to say, Sonia, that we are just finishing our holiday season. We've had a slew of holidays. This is the Tishrei season.
This is today. It's Simchat Torah.
Simchat Torah. It's your birthday.
It's my birthday and my daughter's birthday in the same Simchat Torah.
We is both, it seriously?
Yeah. Really.
Why didn't I know that?
It's a secret.
Oh.
Birthday, it's a secret.
Yom Hulet
Sameach. Thank you.
You see, I broke out in song.
Let's go to our
George.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And happy birthday to us on WSMN and Israel
Today
is Real.
It's our birthday.
It is our birthday and your birthday. Okay. That's a real mazal tov.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. But seriously, folks, we... now I've lost my train of thought. Okay. This high holiday season, of course, is very, very exciting. We introspect, we outreach, we think about a lot of things. We connect with God in many different levels. And we are celebrating, finally, the receiving of the Torah, the giving of the Torah, and in great celebration. I want to just say a few points here that our rabbi, Rabbi Siegel, who has been a guest on our show, Joshua Siegel, gave a very interesting sermon, and it was about the top 10 list of 10 ways to sabotage Judaism. And I'm not going to read all of the points now. We'll keep you in suspense. But it was a very good sermon. Thank you, Joshua, for that sermon. I want to just remark on point number 8 and point number 9. which he says, one way to sabotage Judaism is to send your kids to school on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And what do you mean by that?
The meaning is actually that he is a humoristic way saying sabotage. He is actually trying to light out the clear way that Jewish people should go in order to remain Jews. They, their kids, and generation after generation to come. So when he is saying send your kids to school in Rosh Hashanah, means the new year, and Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement.
Which are the holiest days
the holiest,
of the year.
Yes. The meaning is like you are cutting one or more of your kids' possibility to ask what those days are, mm-hmm. to learn what those days are,
To participate, to
stay connected, and to be capable to give the same exactly information to their own kids. If you are not making this opportunity for your own kids, they maybe will stay Jewish, but they are not going to give any essence to their own Judaism. And actually, what I think that the rabbi is saying here, go for a Jewish education, period. Jewish education. Again, Jewish education.
Mm-hmm. I think, well, what he says here is that the message, our most important holy days, with their powerful introspection, just aren't that important if you don't send your kids.
Sure.
That it's not. And pretty soon the values to which we aspire and contemplate also fall on the back burner. So the question is, where are your priorities? What is important in life? And sometimes you need to take a break from school, from public school, from regular school, to participate in a religious event or a spiritual event or an event that is keeping you culturally tied
sure.
to your roots. And I believe that's important in this day and age, to have something to hold on to.
And not to forget that the parents are the role model, and I know parents that they are doing certain things in order for the kids to see, to absorb, to learn, to ask again.
Mm-hmm.
Because questioning a certain holiday, it's giving you the opportunity to learn.
And the other part of it is, if you don't go and participate and experience it, how can you really know if you want to be part of it? How can you really know what it is? You need to experience it. You can't just learn about something theoretically. It needs to have a real practical use.
Sure.
And
sure.
The point number nine that he also says, and in the same vein, don't send your kids to Jewish summer camp.
Means send the kids to a Jewish summer
right.
camp. Sure.
Right.
Again, because you are meeting more people like you, and you are getting some education in the spirit of Judaism, and you can have a great summer camp speaking about nature, and in the same time to speak about the nature, how the Judaism is looking to the nature, and to learn about your Judaism and nature, to learn about friendship and Judaism, to learn about, you know, parents and Judaism. A lot. What is the meaning of learning in Judaism? Everything. So, yes, and you are also capable to meet more kids.
It's about community as well.
Absolutely.
It's very important to be in a community where you share the same experiences, you share the same history, you share the same roots, you share similar values. And you even speak the same language sometimes.
In America, you are speaking the English language. But yes, if you are going to a summer camp in Israel, you will suddenly find out that the language that you are using in the synagogue, it's absolutely, not absolutely, but it's the same language actually mm-hmm. that you are using when you are traveling with the bus.
Right.
It's the same language when you are going to a supermarket. It's the same language that you are using in a day-by-day life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is suddenly makes sense to a child.
For children who attend religious school, for children who are learning about what it means to be Jewish, this includes language education. They learn Hebrew.
I took two former, before a couple of years ago, I took two girls in Israel, which they have been learning a day Jewish school, Jewish day school. And it was a great experience for them. It was something, first of all, they've been shocked that they understand everything.
Right.
It was like,
wow. Which is a really good feeling.
Yes.
When you suddenly,
yes.
It makes
and
sense.
And it was like, wow. So all those years, and they've been, one was in the fourth grade and the other one, I think, finished the fifth grade. So they both have been like, wow, I cannot believe that I have use in this. And second, suddenly to learn about Jerusalem and to go in Jerusalem, to speak about Dead Sea and to see Eilat, and to take them, you know, I show them the Rabbi Tarfon grave, mm-hmm. which is in Tzfat. And this is exactly the same Rabbi Tarfon that you are speaking about
right.
him in Passover. So they've been like, wow, those are real people.
Right. And one of the things that comes into the category of sending your kids to Jewish camp is also attending a youth group, again, during the year, where you can step out and do some other activities with other Jewish people or other people.
Absolutely.
And also taking an organized trip to Israel, as you just said.
It wasn't an organized. I organized the trip, but I can say that you have a lot of wonderful guides, Israeli guides, that can make you a unbelievable, you know, trip to Israel.
So I can see that if we tie in, there's a connection to Nathan Zeller, for example,
sure.
who just spoke today, and his desire to remind people and create educational programs that remind people and stay connected with the founding fathers, the founding people, the state of Israel. And to remember that Israel wasn't always there, and now it is there, and how important it is.
And this is a miracle, because we have so many nations that disappears in the history,
mm-hmm.
and nobody knows how those nation and what, not that they don't know what the language, but they never heard this language alive. And suddenly, after 2,000 and more years in diaspora, the Jewish people are coming back to their own geographical, more or less. It's not exactly. It's much smaller than it intended to be.
Right.
And we are speaking exactly the same language. We are walking exactly in the same path with our ancestors. And I think that this is without any precedent in history.
Right. And you know, we also, reminds me of when we had Bert here talking about the shofar.
Right.
And he mentioned that this is the most ancient link to our heritage. So ancient that the shofar was the instrument that was used. That if we look at the shofar, we can remember a link. There are things that trigger a memory and a connection to who we are. And this is very, very important.
And when you are a kid and you are seeing this thing, the first thing that you are asking, it's why? What's this?
Right.
So in the moment that the kids are start asking, this is the moment that you are constructing a certain linkage between the past, and the future.
Right. And the present. How are we living today?
Absolutely.
What
Absolutely.
Is important to us today?
Absolutely.
And I appreciate Nathan Zeller's efforts on behalf of education, Jewish education,
Absolutely.
And some of the things that he wants to do. I should mention that he is interested. He does have a little bit of money that he is putting towards motivating Jewish educators to find creative ways
to interest the children and to build, and also
I want to speak just a moment to remind us how important it is to watch a country being built from scratch, and all of that building we talk about who we are in our little community right here in a synagogue or in a church or wherever you might be. It's so important to build. And if you look at Israel as an example of a country that in such a short time has built up to such an amazing, amazing presence in today's world.
Absolutely.
It's something that is hard to believe sometimes.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And that's it.
We have other countries that in centuries haven't achieved such goals. Not to put them down, but I mean, it's just it is quite a miracle what Israel has accomplished in just a little over 60 years.
When somebody do not have any choice, he must stay alive by swimming. So we start swimming.
Let's swim, and let's talk about the Torah portion of the week.
Okay, so the Torah portion is the first portion of this year, and its name is Parashat Bereshit. It's the Genesis. So the God says, let us make man in our image and the likeness. Humankind was created on the sixth day and was different from all that preceded it. Humankind's creation is recorded in two stages. First, God made known God's intention to create humankind, and afterwards, the account of humankind's actual creation is recorded. This separate and distinctive treatment was, like Ramban points out, a measure of humankind's preeminence and difference in kind from the rest of the animal world whose creation was announced in the immediately preceding passage. The creation of the humankind is a long process, and from this time on, God is watching God's creation with care and love, and also with criticism and judgment. Being made in God's image means we will have certain standards of behavior, to live our life in truth, to stay straight even when it's our gut, we know that something is wrong. God is demanding that we remember that God's way is a good way, even if the evil way may be more tempting and seems like a shortcut.
Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom.
And Chag Sameach. We're Rachel and Sonia.
Sonia, yeah.
This is Israel is Real, and we are on the air every Friday, 10 to 11 in the morning on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. Thank you, Nathan Zeller. And
bye.
Shabbat Shalom.
WSMN in Nashua.